Dirty Dirty, specially selected for us by Dirty Andy. Now, we've discussed about Pixel Lake festivals and the definition of commons, and now we move on to the remix, the Commons Collective, that is Canadian Montreal-based media collective that Alan Ambrose is participating in. So, Alan, well, simply, what is Remix the Commons Collective? What is it doing? What is the aim of it and everything?
As I already said, I think Remix the Commons first is aims to be an intercultural space for sharing and co-creating multimedia documents about the commons. And we had this idea when we just started documenting the commons to have this at the intercultural level. For us, it's quite important, this aspect. So it's a collective, as you said. It was ideated in Canada, but the partners are in Senegal, in Morocco, in France, and in Quebec. That the Francophone countries, it was easier for us because question of contact, partnership, but also question of getting some funding to start the project with the international Francophone organization based in France, actually. But we insist a lot about the interculturality of the commons because, as you heard, that the definition of the commons for us, if there is no interculturality, I mean, that would be very difficult to put the commons on the map, you know. Concretely, Remix the Commons is first a web platform where you can upload, you can share, you can catalog your documents, and you can also take it, remix it, and use it in your in your own environment, you know. Second is a catalog. We insist on the catalog. We want really to curate the documentations of the commons, and the catalog aims also at being intercultural catalog. So it's open, an open catalog, and collaborative. Normally, anybody could enter the platform and catalog its document. You know, you have a new document, for example. These radio show could be cataloged. I hope it will be cataloged on the Remix the Commons platform. And you have you know, you have to just to fill things saying it was done in Tampere by blah 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 blah, blah, etc. The rights, the Creative Commons rights, etc. If there is any rights, etc. You can use it as such and such and such. You can remix it eventually, you know, use some part of the good music and what you just said, etc. But Remix is also Remix the Commons is also a platform who aims to create new tools and venues for this sharing and remixing, etc. So at the moment, for example, we're working on a tool. It would be the mapping of the commons, actually. And the mapping of the commons, we just started with the mapping of the definitions of the commons. We already have more than 100 definitions in more than, 40 languages or more. And people could go and just post their own definition. If you want, right now, you could do a selfie or a video or radio, and you say, for me, my definition is that, and you can post it on this map, and people will go and visit this map and go, for example, Latin America and hear and listen to a definition made by a Brazilian and say, wow, that's quite interesting. I could maybe remix it with what I've heard here or what I've done here, etc. So we've been working on this, and actually the platform is developing now. I mean, when we talk about interculturality, it's a big challenge. You know, it's not only a question of translating things. We have to translate and etc. But it's also more than that. It's hybridization, as I said earlier, of the different cultures. And but it, you have to do that. You have to do. You have to have you know, a platform where people can enter easily. And at the moment, it's more French, English, and Spanish than, you know, Finnish, etc. So we have to work on this. We have all these challenges now. But finally, the platform ready, Remix the Commons is also some. We're trying to organize and co-organize projects, conferences, meetings that simulate initiatives to produce multimedia documents. So, for example, we have this project to do distributed production of a video by the Commons. We already talked with people in India, in Latin America, in Africa, and in Europe to say, for example, let's document the Commons and put it together and on a platform and then remix it as you wish to remix it. For example, at the festival Pixel Arts, we worked with community television in Helsinki, M-Cult, and we did all the interviews with them about the Commons in different languages, but they will all be translated into Finnish. And all the definitions in Finnish will be translated in other languages. They will document the common practices in Finland and put it on the platform, you know. So they could be the partners of this distributed production documentary film about the Commons. We have the same partners in Spain and, in, as I said, India and many different countries. I used to work myself in a international network of community TV and video, so I still have some contacts in many different countries. You know. So we could develop this kind of project as well. And finally, I think we found important after the conference, the last conference about the economics and the commons in Berlin, to work also to develop the research about the commons. Because we've been approached, and our partners in Senegal, for example, are an artist kind of a cultural organization named Kher Tio San, who organized the same kind of festival as Pixelas, the Afro Pixel Festival. But we have also a kind of academic research partner there, the LARTES. And when we were in Berlin at these famous conferences organized by Heinrich Böll Foundation, we realized that the African presence was really weak in comparison with the other continents. But in Africa, they have a lot of practices of commons. So we decided in Remix to use our platform, to use the tools, and to do a research action about the commons in Africa, starting in West African countries. So that's more or less what the aims, if you say, of the platform Remix the Commons. But if you go on the site, you can have access to more than hundreds definitions of the commons, but also a lot of different thematics about the commons values, but the economics and the commons market. We have a section, for example, about alternative currencies, a section about infrastructure, etc. So you can go and visit the site and use it, remix it, etc.
So it's the address is remixthecommons.org. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
And there we have how do you call that, a tab or whatever, a part of that website, get involved. So through that one, can you repeat what concrete ways for our listeners, for example, there would be spontaneously now to get involved in Remix the Commons?
You can post your own videos on this if you speak of or video or audios or we say multimedia. We use mainly videos until now, but we also have audio or documents. And you can just so post it, put in the catalog your thing, and as I said, with the conditions of reproducing, distributing, etc. And you could also create projects. If you, for example, want to create a project about the sound of the commons, you could create a project and propose this and find partners on the platform. Talking about music, I just received, before I came here in Montreal, there is a project about traditional music. You know, they do violin, and that's a very traditional music in the province of Quebec. And there is a project to go and try to show how this music is a commons, and how is it we have to preserve it, to protect it, and to defend it. And the idea is to go and make a kind of movie, a documentary film, actually visiting different musicians and learning from them, and putting all this on an image on the site, you know. Learning how they play, learning how they, etc., the kind of instrument they use, etc., etc. So that's a project that could be done in commons, and for, you know, the benefit of the commoners in other fields. I mean, we also have a project in our province where all the different experience of commonings have been documented. Like, for example, people created alternative currencies in some villages. In they sent their image, and we put it on the platform. What other definition? Just other thing that people could contribute is, just participate in the governance of the platform itself, because we would like to have this remixthecommons.org as a commons. So every participant should be a commoner of the platform, and just make proposals for the governance of the commons, of these commons, you know.
What about the money question, or how is the project financed, and does somebody get paid, or how is the money like circulating in the whole thing?
That's a good and difficult question, as Michel Bowen says. Also, you know, we have to also make a living out of the commoning. There is no, I mean, that's a volunteer base for the moment. We had, at the very beginning of the project, we have very many different dimensions we wanted to really to explore. One of them was the interculturality. The second one was the economic one. And so until now, we've worked mainly on a volunteer basis, plus we had kind of support to create the platform itself. But there is many different ways. Some of the projects could be crowdfunded, like, for example, when you make things like, for example, we're thinking that the first announcement I make in public, actually, we're thinking to make a crowdfunding for the mapping of the commons, because that you have a product, you can just have a return to the funder, you know, and you can ask for collaboration as well. So the crowdfunding is a part of things, and we have now a plan to for the all these economic aspects of the commons, where that would be a mix of public funding, crowdfunding, etc., according to the project, you know, we develop in it. For example, when we organize meetings, etc., it's, of course, we go to the foundations, we go to the different institutions where could be interesting in that. We develop something in the Francophone area, for example, we go to an institution, Francophone institutions. But we have really to think this more in detail.
Do you use some sort of specific licenses? You were mentioning that everything is remixable on your site. Do you license? Or how do you license?
It's sharing alike, and just, you know, all the documents in the, on the platform are really opened.
Yes.
Totally.
So it's Creative Commons.
Oh yeah, it's Creative Commons. Yeah, sure. Like, yeah.
Yes. Have you discussed about this problematic that if you license openly and freely in that way, then also commercial and financial actors are capable of using your commons materials for their own benefits? You have.
yeah, of course. What we did at the beginning, that was another dimension, the legal aspect. Mm. And we asked different experts, but in the commons world, to help us on this. And we had somebody from France, Lionel Morel, who came with all the different possibilities of the kind of licensing, etc. So we took his advice. And Lionel is part of a group in France, but now it's in kind of international, who really is studying very close study about the all the licenses, the cultural licenses. And I know there is many discussion right now about the different licenses. I know that, for example, Michel Borens is proposing a new one, the peer-to-peer kind of license, that would be different than the GPL and the Creative Commons. That's not exactly my domain, so I won't go in details on this. But we have really, you're right. We have to be very careful about all this.
Mm. Yeah, I certainly don't have any answers or solutions, but at the again, we are in the very core of commons problematics and contradictions. This first one was the question concerning the income, living income, if we are commoners and we still have to live on the market-based society, how do we at the same time go beyond the markets and still somehow make our living? That's one problematic question that commoners have to face. And then another one is that when we produce commons, we somehow at the same time have to open them for the free use, but also to protect them from a wrong kind of use. And what is wrong and right then is not very clear line. And yeah, this Michel Bovens and actually Dimitri Kleiner's peer license is one, well, not yet solution, but at least an opening for the discussion if there could be defined somehow and even legally defined and structured such a license that would make it open and free to use for the commoners, but not the other, maybe corporate or commercial actors. But then the problematics is in here that Kleiner's and Bovens' proposition, it's, of course, at the moment still only an opening for the discussion. There's no legal actor who could actually make it well legal and workable, because our legal structures do not recognize these kind of distinctions that they are trying to make. But we will see what will happen in the future.
What about the last music break before our very last section of the program? There are two more songs we have to hear tonight. I mean, we are able and we shall hear tonight.
Okay. The next song I was going to play was a hip-hop song, because like in a hip-hop culture, remixing is used a lot generally. And why is it so? No, like generally, as I spoke earlier, that modern remixing had its roots in the late 1960s Jamaican music. And the early pioneers of the hip-hop culture, like DJ Kool Herc and the Grandmaster Flash, were Jamaican immigrants living in New York. And they used a lot of same techniques that the selectors and the DJs in Jamaica. For example, if you take a 7-inch reggae record, so in the other side there is the song that is synced, and then the other side there is a doublet, which means a rhythm. And when the selector plays plays music, he can choose to play different song with the same rhythm to just to keep the feeling continuing. So that's what the early hip hop, like the DJs and the selectors, did in New York also. Like they use it, they were alternating between the duplicate copies of the same record, like just they keep the party going on as in the discos, and also they use it like scratching, like which means manually moving the vinyl record beneath the turntable needle, just to make the scratching sound, and later the sampling was used in the hip hop culture a lot, which means you take a part of the sample from the film or another record, and you make a new song from these samples, or used the sample over a beat. So the song I choose is "Shame on Nika" by the Wu-Tang Clan, and this is not the old hip hop song. It was released in 1993, and when it was released, I was 16 years old, and generally the whole record was a collage or a big remix, because the lyrics are about the kung fu and the UFOs, and a lot of samples from movies and other songs are used. So much that it's difficult to know which is the made by the composers and which are the samples from the previous works of art. So that's why it's like a total combination of different parts of culture, hold this record, and it hit me. It was very influential for me, this record. So you can go on.
So we hear now Wu-Tang Clan and "Shame on a Nigga."
Oui.
Now man, sparking the wild kid of terror. Razor sharp, I sever the head from the shoulders. I'm better than my competitor. You mean competitor, whatever. Let's get together.
Shame on the nigga who tried to run game on the nigga who buck wild with the trip blind.
He acts so thick, I'm fat. And yo, Ray came blowing and blew off your headphones black. Rap from yo, Cali to Texas. Smoother than a Lexus. Now it's my turn to wreck this. Brothers approaching half step, but ain't heard half of it yet. And I bet you're not a fucking vet. So when you see me on the reel, forming like Voltron, remember I got deep like a baby seal.
Same on the nigga who tried to run game on the nigga. Who fuck well with the trigger? Same on the nigga who tried to run game on the nigga. I'll fuck your ass up. Yo. Come with that old loco, style from my vocal. Couldn't keep it with a pair of bifocals. I'm no joker, play me as a joker. Be on it like a house on fire, smoke ya. Dudes be acting like the gangs anyway. Be like warriors, come out and play, yeah. Me, I get into shit, I let it like diarrhea. Got burnt once, but that was only gonorrhea. Dirty, I keep shit stained in my drawers so I can get for some funky for you. Murder, takes the flame of the Wu-Tang, rah. Here comes the Tiger Brass Grave, ow. Be like, wow. With my style, punk, you play me chump, you get dumb. Woo, it's coming through at a theater near you, and get funk like it's true. What?
Now it's time for the concluding marks before the midnight and the last song of the last. Well, what kind of concluding marks do we have, or concluding openings? At least what always comes into my mind when we are here in Totuus Radio studio is that Totuus Radio in itself has been and is and hopefully will also be in the future a kind of an open platform and commons, or a practice of commoning for us who have used this platform to communicate our issues. That was evident especially and already in the very beginning years of Totuus Radio when I wasn't involved, but these other good persons were who founded this radio program as a student's kind of protest radio, which served students' movement in the university years ago, and Totuus Radio then became a kind of a commons for the student activists who came here to talk about the movement and who used this as a command center without command as a platform for themselves to talk about social issues. And then Totuus Radio very quickly came a radio station also for the philosophical and theoretical questions and discussions which were then coming up. So here we are in a kind of a commons, or inside in kind of a commons, talking and discussing about the commons and commoning. And we have talked about Pixel Lake festivals as a platform, and also now about the Remix the Commons collective or website as a platform. This platform as a concept is also interesting and important for the commons movement, that there has to be different kinds of platforms where the communication can be done and practices rehearsed. And it's then about opening the platforms. That's totally, or I don't know if it's totally, but something new in organization also. Or do you see this as an organizational question, Alan, that what kind of an organization is a platform?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question, because it's all have to do about with the common aim first, and the way we organize ourselves to act together, and what now we call the art of commoning, the way we do it. You know. But the first, I think, criteria of this kind of platforms is the horizontality, and that's what we call it, platform. You know, it's just horizontal and not vertical. And I think all the principles of the peer-to-peer and the sharing have been really struck in the last few years, actually, by the way all these new techniques of communicating, but also animating the meetings, etc., are developing. I discovered recently the art of hosting, for example, techniques. I think here in Finland you have a art of hosting kind of chapter. It's an international movement now where people really develop methodologies to create together, to co-create, to do social innovation together. And I think we have a lot to learn from this approach. And I'm personally, I think that the art of commoning, I have to learn about this. We had the chance to meet Toke Mulder. He's from Denmark. He's one of the founder of the art of commoning, the art of hosting, excuse me, kind of trend or movement. And I asked him about how he saw the relationship between art of hosting and art of commoning. His answers were quite interesting, because he, for the first time for him, it was an opportunity to define the commons, and he found that in his own country there are many different ways to go commoning, to act in commons. And then he realized that all the approach of the art of hosting could be really helpful for the art of commoning. So I think that the platform is not only a word, but we have really to enliven the platform and to create new ways of being together and acting together. Because the commons, at the end of the day, is really enacting together. You know, it's not only in ideology, just a philosophy. It's acting together, you know, and you can do that in any situation. And what Toke Muller was saying at the end, he say, you know, what kind of commons are you practicing every day? You know, we have to have this question, you know, in mind, you know, when we go and we want to create a commons. So, you know, that's actually a way of being, a way of life, a way of... I was very impressed by an interview I made with a young guy working in a huge cooperative in Venezuela named Secosesola. Secosesola is almost 50 years old cooperative, and actually that's a regrouping of cooperative. They have now agricultural production, distribution, but they have a funeral cooperative, as actually they started with a funeral cooperative. And they have a big hospital, and they work on a kind of commons-based, mode or organization. And the last time I met these people, there were two guys, two different generation. One was around 50 years old. The other one was 27. And they spoke about the way the common, they living the commons on everyday life. You know, they have a lot of assemblies. They have a lot, you know, to decide things. But they find ways to act together, to redistribute the values. Could be with money. Could be with other kind of value, etc. But And at the end, I asked the young guy, how long have you been working at in the Secos de Sola? He said, I just started, I was 15 or 16, I don't remember. So he had already 10 or more years working with it. And I say, how would you define this? And the answer is just a way of living. I couldn't think about another way of living that working together and acting together with my neighbors, my fellow commoners, actually. So I don't know if I answer your question.
Yeah, I think Secos de Sola is an important example also because, well, it's a cooperative, and many times in cooperative discussions it is said that, well, yeah, some small, very little cooperatives, they can be a places of direct democracy, for example, but then when the cooperative grows, it naturally, quite naturally, turns out to be a hierarchical and bureaucratic organization, and that is the only way that is possible. But now Secos de Sola is definitely an example of different kind of that. Also, a big can be somehow beautiful, that it is a big cooperative, huge nearly, but still they have managed to develop participatory practices. And now, in this case, a cooperative gives only a certain kind of platform again, and the possibilities that are then opened and developed inside the cooperative mode, they can be different kinds of depending on the also on the culture that is developed inside the juridical mode, so that cooperative somehow opens possibilities, but in some cooperatives they are closed, and in some cooperatives they are fulfilled, and that is not directly, at least not directly, connected to the size, but they can also be big cooperatives that work on the basis of direct and participatory democracy, and then there are platforms in which there are different kinds of smaller platforms, these assemblies. Another one could be Suma Cooperative from UK, Great Britain, which is a cooperative groceries store. And it's not so huge as Secos de Sola is, but it's also a big one. It's a workers' cooperative, which includes 150 members, and it is based on teamwork model. And it is also an example of a cooperative that has managed to develop such practices that has kept it open and alive as a place for direct participation and democracy. Yeah.
Now I have to say that the time is running. We are almost on the clock time 23:55, which means that approximately 5 minutes still we have until the end of our show. We might go a little further than that also, but so it's time to say some final words before we have our final music session. I could say from my part, just a little picture came to my mind earlier in the program when you, Alan, spoke about other species with some practices of commons that even the human eyes can see. Came to my mind this like old idea of nature films as right-wing propaganda, so to say, that they reproduce in very harsh ways, actually, very bourgeois reality, let's say, like that, in the narrations, when the narrator says that on that little animal there is a selfish bastard that only wants to make itself feel comfortable, and if it looks like the smiling, that is only manipulation. It only wants to gain for its own sake, and only uses other ones as how do you say it, means. So from my opinion, and I suppose I'm not the only one, nature films are in this sense like big, big propaganda films, which try to distribute this idea that the human beings are selfish son of a bitches, and that's just how it is. So people believe that and go to the markets and act as somebody who only is interested about its own gain. So if this is, so to say, the paradigm of the capital, which makes the narration sound like that, my little question only is that, or question, or just picture that, would the narration also, in your opinion, be very different if it would be spoken in the paradigm of the commons? Would the narrator talk with other words and other sentences about those little mangusts, or however they are called in English language, when they talk about them moving on them in the nature? Yeah, that's my final sentences there.
Mangusts.
Mangusts, no idea how you spell them in those little guys.
Yeah, everybody understands. Those in the YouTube as well.
Anyway, maybe one day we try a nature film narrated in the paradigm of the commons.
Yeah, I'm sure. And we have a lot now of good, very, very good research about it that could just make a good script for these new films.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a plan. So, do you have any final words? We are already on the end of our time.
Well, I'm very, very grateful to be here. Actually, I discovered a lot of things being with you guys here tonight, and being with the Pixels Festival the last 2 or 3 days. And I think that's amazing how fast is growing this commons memes, you know, the commons philosophy, not only the philosophy but also the acting of the commons, and the economical and political scaling up of the commons. And I think this kind of show, radio show tonight, is just another little step in the way to develop a new way of communicating about the commons. And I think the mixing with the music was perfect, because we didn't speak very much about the artistic part of it, but I think the artists have a lot to do to communicate the commons.
Well, I have to underline that also for me this weekend, and now the week start also, as this is a Monday evening, has been a remarkable days. And I have to thank also Pixel Lake crew that they made this possible, or this Pixel Lake camp possible. And now also, of course, thanks for the Totuus Radio for making this possible. I think that's enough from me, and of course, thank you, Alain Ambrose, from Remix the Commons Collective, and thank you, Dirty Andy, and everybody. So let's move forward. I think I'm already emptied my cup.
Yeah, please, Dirty Andy.
Okay, the last song I chose was an example of 1980s electronic music. Because it, like the 1980s electronic music, took the remixing to another level. For example, in hip hop music, like, there's a beat which can be made of the sample, so it can be played, and there's a person rapping, I mean telling his story over a beat. But in the 80s electronic music, music like the like was generally used like entirely of the samples. For example, this group that is going to play soon is called Art of Noise, and it took the remix styles to the to an extreme. Like, it only uses the samples, so there is no such thing as the singer, as in rap music or reggae music, but only samples. It's a group that combines like old music to a new, so like different kind of like old pieces of culture to some kind of new collage. So that's why 80s electronic music can be like the empty show. And this song is called Art of Noise and Moments in Love, and it's a cloudy song that can end this evening.
Thank you, Andy, and buenas noches all, dear Totus Radio listeners.